Have you just come to church today? Because it's Sunday morning. Have you come just to go through the motions? Or have you come because you got something burning in your heart about knowing Jesus? Because you have such a understanding of who he is, what he's done for you, that there's nothing else worth living for. Have you come expecting not just to have a great meeting, but do you come expecting your life to get impacted, to get changed? Do you expect... Do you expect somebody else to make something happen for you? Do you expect the meeting leader to stir it up, or the worship guys, or this person next to you? What do you expect from your life? Where do you think God is at this moment? Pastor Colin last week brought a word about being dependent on the Holy Spirit. And I believe God wants to just totally break this church wide open. Just close your eyes a minute and ask the Holy Spirit. Well, you don't need to ask him, you need to just tell him. Because he's ready to respond to the degree that we give ourselves to him and the room that we give him. He'll take it. To the degree that we yield to the Holy Spirit, he'll flow and move through our lives in a fresh way. But at any given moment in our day, just surrender afresh to the Holy Spirit now. Just surrender your own opinions of everything right now. Your opinions of what's going on in the world, your opinions of how things are going in your life or with other people or in this church. Just lay all your opinions down right now. Surrender them to the Holy Spirit. Preferences. Just surrender them all right now. Everything you'd like to see happen, everything you want to see, just surrender it all, everything. Your marriage, if you're married, your friendships, just surrender them all. Yeah, if you've got kids, surrender your kids afresh. Everything, your work, your home, your cars, your money, surrender it all. Holy Spirit, save us from just being Christians. Save us from just doing the stuff we can so easily do. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are vibrant, that you are alive, that you are fresh, that you are full of energy. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are free. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are young and you are youthful. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're so unpredictable. Thank you that you are movement and you are energy. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just ask the Holy Spirit afresh to take the reins of your life. Say, Holy Spirit, I want that fresh vibrancy, that youthful spirit, that vibrancy, that energy, that freshness, that capacity for life, everything that you've called me to, called us to. Holy Spirit, I thank you for that freshness, that overtaking that you want to do in my life. You know, in God's kingdom, there are no old people. Because God doesn't look at how old we are in the natural. He looks at our spirit and what's on the inside of us, what He's placed in there. And He said, I've put in there energy and life and freshness and freedom and power. A zeal and a zest for life. I've put a youthfulness in you. Your youth is being renewed like the eagles. Because my spirit is fresh and alive, full of my life. There's a creativity of the Holy Spirit. Many of you have got creativity, and it's like the Holy Spirit wants to unlock and release that in a new way. There's gifts and abilities and skills that God wants to release in a fresh way, but in order for that, He wants that yielding in all those areas so that He can just touch it with His Holy Spirit in a fresh way, and things just come alive and break open.
Yes, Jesus.
In John chapter 3, Nicodemus goes to find Jesus. And he says to Jesus, for no one could perform the miracles you are doing if God were not with him. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Nicodemus says, how can a man be born if he is old? When he is old, surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. But Jesus said, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. For the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. What a great few verses. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How many of you have been born of the Spirit today? Let's stand up, shall we? If you've been born of the Spirit, people don't know which way your life is going to be blowing. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. God wants to get out of predictability.
Yes.
Amen. There to be a freshness, a vibrancy. So you're on the front foot, you're on tiptoes with expectation. You're not sure how things might go on any given day. Because the Holy Spirit has the freedom to He has our ear so that we're listening, we're sensitive at any given moment.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Whenever we... Oh, sit down a minute. Sit down. Grab your Bibles. If you hear something good, shout out and say something this morning. Whenever we turn to a Bible verse, shout out, I've got it, I'm there. Say something, okay, so I know what you're doing. Matthew 1:18. When you get there, shout, I've got it. Have you read it? Anybody else got it? Or is it just six of us so far? You can leave that light on. This, I feel like I'm in darkness otherwise. Cool. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Naughty, naughty. She was not married. She was only given to be married, but yet she was found pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, so that's interesting, she's pledged to be married to Joseph, but then the next verse says that Joseph is already her husband. He was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, so he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after she had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared, and he, so on. You know, God does things that don't fit in.
That's right.
The fact that Mary was pledged to be married, but yet the Holy Spirit put the seed of Jesus inside of her womb. Joseph, because he wanted to not expose her to public disgrace, had in mind to divorce her quietly. God knew what he was doing. His plan went forward and he told Joseph, obviously don't do that. You see, God does things that are outside of the rules. The Holy Spirit does things outside of the parameters of what we think are safe and how we think should happen. Last week, Pastor Colin talked about being dependent on the Holy Spirit, and then he talked about four things. The spirit of faith, the spirit of
love,
the spirit of
power,
and the spirit of
glory,
all encompassed in the spirit of
holiness.
Are you listening? Cool. It's not bad, is it? Now, we want to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. We've had an awesome leaders conference this week with a lot of relating leaders and some other guys that are looking to develop more relationship with us here. And there was a lot of things that God said during the week, a lot of it about being dependent on the Holy Spirit. And one of the things I felt right at the beginning of the week that God wants to restore to the church, and if we're going to really be led by the Spirit, then there has to be an adventurous nature about us as Christians.
Amen.
It's like in the church, generally, we've lost an adventurous spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will always lead us on an adventure. The Holy Spirit will always lead us into something where we feel out of our depth, or it's too dangerous, or I can't handle it, or what do I do in this situation? That's how the Holy Spirit leads us. When the Holy Spirit leads us like that, it causes us to have to trust God at any given moment. It can be a very practical situation in our lives, everyday lives. We're having to trust God. It could be in your work life, in your home situation. Could be to do with finances. But if we're a people of faith, then God will always want to increase and strengthen our faith. So he will always lead us in a way that requires us to take a step into what we are not sure might be there. But because God does something, there's a certainty that we know, well, if I take it, God's going to do it.
That's right.
But it's like there needs to be that adventure that we recapture.
Come on.
Yes.
And as a church, God wants to... for us to recapture that adventurous spirit.
Yes.
See, God has called us as a revival people.
That's right.
He's called us as a people with a mandate upon our lives.
Yes.
We might not ever become the biggest church or whatever. And size isn't the thing. Mal Fletcher, when he was here, talked about being a people of influence. So if we understand the mandate that God has given us and why we're here, what we're about, then we will be adventurous in the things that God has called us to. It'll challenge our faith. It's like God is wanting to step up into another gear at this time, and it's going to challenge every one of us in our personal lives and our corporate life together. To be dependent on the Holy Spirit means that we must be ready for God to shake and rock our world. To be dependent on the Holy Spirit, God will show things and put things in front of us that in the natural seem impossible, but because we have a spirit of faith, we look at the impossible and say, well, it must be possible because that's what God has said. Let's move towards it.
Yes,
right. Joshua and Caleb with the other 10 came back with the same report, but the other 10 said, it can't be done. We can't take the land because of the size of the people, the fortified cities. But yet these young fellas, because they had a spirit of faith that was operating in their life, they looked at the impossibility, but that spirit of faith rose up and says, it must be possible. There's no reason why we can't. Those circumstances are not reasons why we can't go in. So the 10 said, these are all the reasons why we can't go. But the 2 of them said, but they're not even reasons. They don't count. They're only natural circumstances. So against the word of God, there is no reason why we can't go and do what God has said to do. Because the word of God undermines the circumstances. See, often we say, well, the circumstances don't seem to fit with the word of God. But we need to put it the other way around and say, well, this is what God has said. The circumstances don't fit it. Great, so we're going to see God do something. It's whether you look at the glass as half empty or half full. Which way are you going? Are you going down or are you going up? What does the word adventure mean? The word adventure means to take risks, to do bold exploits, to be daring. It looks at the impossible and says, let's have a go.
Amen.
It looks at the impossible and says, it must be possible. There must be a way. An adventurous spirit cannot be tamed. What a great meaning. An adventurous spirit cannot be tamed. This is what the meaning is when I was looking in different dictionaries. It cannot be contained by the circumstances around it. What a great meaning. If you're an adventurer, if we're on an adventure with God, we cannot be contained or restrained by the circumstances that are around us. It makes a way for others to follow. An adventurous spirit believes even when everybody else says it cannot be done. An adventurous spirit is young, it's vibrant, it's lively, it's quick to move, it's energetic, it's fresh, it's willing.
Come on.
Anybody else?
Yes.
How many of you have seen the Indiana Jones films? All of you, probably most of you. Now, you know when you're watching a film like that, you've got this guy, Indiana Jones, with his hat and all his gear, and he's like the adventurer. And he seems to get into one completely impossible situation after another. You know, the way they do the scenes and they it looks like there is no way out of this. It's absolutely impossible. And somehow, at the last moment, somehow something happens and he gets out of it. Right. But as the film goes on, each one of those situations becomes even more acute and even more dangerous than the one before, until finally you get to that part in the film where you just think, now we've had 6 of these so far and this is just ridiculous. There is no way he's going to get out of this, so he's going to die. This is the end. But you know, because it's a film, that somehow he's going to get through it, that this guy is going to get out of this impossible situation. And lo and behold, he does. Whenever you're with Indiana Jones, it's full of energy. You're not sure what's going to happen next. You just look at the guy and you think, unpredictability. This guy is just out there. He'll do anything to get the prize that he's going for. But have you noticed in all these kind of films that they always have the guy in the suit, the straight guy, the boring guy? Have you noticed? You know, in Indiana Jones, they have his friend who's a little bit older than him, and he wears a light blue suit. Have you seen him? Very, you know, and all that. And he's safe. He doesn't like the danger. He thinks Indiana Jones is out there somewhere, you know. He wants to be safe, likes to, you know, Indiana Jones is kind of on the verge of death all the time. And there back in the hotel room, you've got the guy in the blue suit wondering, I wonder where he is. I wonder if he's all right. And the things that he's supposed to be doing to make sure Indiana Jones doesn't get into trouble, he doesn't do, does he? Now, when you're watching these things, you're watching these scenes and Indiana Jones is kind of in a chase or he's taken on 5,000 people all on his own. And you're captivated by the energy. You're on the edge of your seat. You don't know what's going to happen next. They bring that whole scene just about to the kind of final moment and they suddenly swap to the man in the blue suit in the hotel. Don't they? And all the pace suddenly goes out of it and suddenly you're like... You're like, no, no, not the guy in the blue suit. Get back onto Indiana Jones. This guy is boring. No, but they managed to keep it long enough on him that you're like, get back to Indiana Jones. And the other ridiculous thing, after you've been with the guy in the blue suit for a few minutes, when they go back to Indiana Jones, he's in exactly the same moment as when you left him. And you think, hang on, I've been watching the guy in the blue suit for 5 minutes, and so Indiana Jones... Maybe the action stopped and paused and then it carried on. Anyway, that's just one of the things you notice. But you want to be with Indiana Jones, don't you? The guy, the adventurer, the dangerous guy. You don't know what's going to happen next. Well, hopefully you do. Hopefully you don't want to sit there. So no, go back to the guy in the blue suit. I want to just... Why do we want? Because we love adventure. We love... the danger. We love things to be on the edge. We love unpredictability. We love it. We want to be, you know, why do they advertise, you know, the film all about Indiana Jones and not the man in the blue suit? Because if it was all about the man in the blue suit, nobody would be there. So they advertise it on the danger, on the impossibilities. Right? You see, God loves to give us vision that is completely impossible. God presents us with Indiana Jones vision, not with the blue suit man. But why so often do we live like the man in the blue suit then? We love the adventure. Why? Because we were born for it. The Holy Spirit is an adventurous spirit. The Holy Spirit cannot be tamed. The Holy Spirit is energetic, fresh, willing, quick to move, vibrant, lively. Young. The Holy Spirit loves unpredictability, loves the impossible. God wants to restore an adventurous spirit amongst us. How do you be adventurous? We're not talking about just suddenly changing your character and being a nutter and being out there and suddenly just doing crazy things. We're talking about the kind of people that we are in the Spirit.
Amen.
And if we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit in our lives and we allow God to speak to us and show us and we respond to that, there will be an adventure in your life.
That's right.
Because we're not talking about the kind of character you are or the kind of personality you are this morning. And, well, you know, Jonathan Dyke, he's the most nuttiest kind of person here. So, you know, he, of course he's going to say amen to having an adventurous spirit. Well, I'm not like him. I'm not as out there as Larry and kind of, you know, what, anything can happen. Larry in a good sense, all right? I don't mean... he never wear a blue suit, praise God. But we're not talking about looking at each other and comparing who's the most likely to be like this. We're talking about the kind of spirit that we have. You see, what would be an adventure for you might be different adventure for me because of how the Holy Spirit leads you in what you're doing. But one of the things God doesn't want us to do is live in blue suits. Light blue suits, as in spiritually. If you've got a blue suit on this morning, forgive me. I've got a light blue shirt on, so anyway, what does that say? Pastor Colin said something during the week, and I'm not going to talk about it like he did. But he said there's four types of Christians, or four kinds of disciples. And he said one is the carnal kind of Christian that is not particularly concerned about the word or the spirit. They're basically living to please themselves. Second kind of, if you go up the ladder as it were, is the kind of Christian that is a compromise. They like to please men. They obey when it suits them. They blow hot and cold. Then you get the kind of Christian that's committed. They're faithful. They're people of the truth, but they like to live within their limits and they only go so far. And then you get those who are controlled by the Spirit, which we heard about last week. Those that are really yielded to the Holy Spirit and really allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to them and take them in whatever direction in their life at any given moment. In terms of just responding to how God is, yielded in attitudes, motives, heart, and all that kind of thing. And he spent a bit more time speaking about it. And probably at different times we're controlled, other times we're committed, maybe sometimes we are compromised, maybe we mix around. But God has called us to be a people that are controlled by the Holy Spirit, as we heard last week. Where there's a willingness on our part to yield to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, just have the reins in my life. I'm just going to read a few things out to you. I listened to a message a few weeks ago and on a tape, wrote some notes and stuff. And I've put one or two things in myself as well in relating to this. But if an adventurous spirit or the spirit of faith is young and vibrant, lively, quick to move, energetic, fresh, willing, if it can't be tamed, if it believes in situations when everybody else says it can't be done, then how do we know what kind of spirit is that, or where we're at with that, and how we need to make sure that our spirit is really fresh and vibrant? And how do we recognize areas in our lives that where maybe we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to be really vibrant and fresh in our lives? And on this in this message, this guy talked about signs, recognizing signs of an aging spirit, okay, where maybe there isn't that readiness to be really quick to respond in different ways. And so just going to go through some of these things. How do we know where our spirit man is? How alive and fresh and vibrant? Or if just without realizing we've just let things settle, or we've just let things become comfortable or safe, or we've just kind of got into a certain way of living or a certain way of doing things. He says there's signs of an aging spirit. And there's the physical symptoms, but then relaying it to spiritual things. Signs of an aging spirit. When you physically get old, maybe sometimes you begin to go deaf, some deafness. And relating that into our spirit, how do we know our spirit's beginning to age? I don't mean we get old as a person, but we're just beginning to feel the signs of creakiness and slowing down in some way spiritually. Deafness. We stop hearing the call of the adventurer. We stop hearing the call of that spirit of faith. It says, go beyond what you can do in the natural. We stop hearing some of the things that the Holy Spirit wants. Signs of an aging spirit. We begin to slow down physically. Maybe not as quick to respond, or we begin to lose a bit of our energy. We're not so, haven't got so much vitality. We begin not to like risk. We begin to pull back from adventure and challenge. We begin to slow down. Maybe another sign of an aging spirit is blurred vision. We stop seeing the future. We begin to look much more at the immediate and how I can be fulfilled now. What can God do for me now? Rather than looking to the future saying, this is what God has called me to. This is what I'm part of. This is where I'm going. That our vision stays really clear. Maybe another sign of an aging spirit is we liking routines. You know, maybe when you get older, you like routine. I just like it like this and like this and like this. The sign of an aging spirit is we like routine. We get set in our ways. We like everything to be ordered. But if we're talking about our spirit being young and vibrant and full of energy and fresh and energetic, then it doesn't matter how old. You can be 65 and spiritually more alive and vibrant than somebody who is 20. You can have a 20-year-old who's got an aging spirit where they're deaf, becoming deaf and slowing down and blurred vision and they like routine. Somebody can be like that at 20, because we're not talking about how old you are. That depends on what your spirit is like. Maybe another sign of an aging spirit is tiredness, weakness. We refuse to get tired. Maybe sometimes tiredness in our spirit is because maybe a bit disappointment setting, or things haven't quite worked out the way they are. It just feels like we've got to keep pressing on and keep moving on. But that's where in some ways we need to refuse to get tired spiritually. So I think you can get tired physically, can't you? When you've been, you know, because we've got natural bodies and we can have an awesome time with God and things can be really happening, but your body can still feel tired. But even when your body is tired, your spirit is vibrant and fresh.
That's right.
Another sign of an aging spirit is we like security. We stop taking risks. We like to build in safety measures. We kind of have a plan B. Well, with the Holy Spirit, there doesn't seem to be a lot of security. I mean, there is in terms of, you know, God's in charge. But if we're going to have that adventurous spirit, then, man, what's next? You know, in one of the Indiana Jones films, he got to the point where, I don't know which one it was, but he was inside these caves and he had to get from this side to that side, and it looked like just a massive cavern. It looked like nothing there to stand on. And it was when he got a piece of dirt, didn't he? And he chucked it across. And then this dirt obviously landed on this very thin plinth that went all the way across. And suddenly he could see where it was. And he began to kind of walk across on this thing. The great thing about pursuing God is that we don't know what's going to happen next. What he's going to lead us into, then that's part of the adventure.
Come on.
Yes. Now we got vision and direction, but how that works out, that's where we've got to go with God. But God's never going to dot all the I's and cross all the T's in our life, because as soon as that happens, we do things in our own strength and we suss it out. God will just give us the kind of the basic outline, so that we trust him, so that we move with him. And as we go, God will fill in the detail. It's only as you look back, you can see the detail. But God won't give us the detail here. See, that's what the faith for. The faith is to step into the detail that is written in the Spirit, but God won't show us. If God really showed us some of the things that have happened maybe in our lives, where we've trusted God, some of us probably wouldn't have stepped out in faith, would we? There's probably things that have happened in our lives where God has led us that we thought, man. And when you're in the middle of it, sometimes you think, oh my word, you know, if I'd known it's going to be like this, would I have done this or not? Anybody ever felt like that? Okay, well, another sign of an aging spirit is the world gets smaller. You become much more local in your thinking. Just go round the corner to the local store. Just become very local-minded. You know, the world just seems to be, the older you get, maybe some people, as they get older, they just think the world's just, you know, it's too much, you know. But an aging spirit, you know, the world's getting smaller. Just settle down a bit. Whereas a vibrant, lively spirit is like, come on, we can take the world. We can take everything. We can see God do everything he's promised. Another sign of an aging spirit is brittleness. Maybe there can be some inflexibility. We don't like change. Maybe another sign of an aging spirit is minimum effort required. Just let me do the minimum because I just can't. But yet a vibrant, young, kind of fresh spirit cannot wear out. It doesn't just want shortcuts or the quick way of doing something. A young, vibrant spirit says, whatever it takes, let's go there, let's do it anyway. You see, that's what a spirit of faith is all about.
Yes, yes, yes.
An aging spirit, instead of having dreams, only has memories. It looks back with rose-tinted glasses. It used to be so much better in the old days. Wasn't it, you know, rubbish?
Amen.
An aging spirit says, well, maybe not yet, maybe and on another day. But a young, vibrant, fresh spirit says, yes, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that God wants to do something. Why not today? Why should it be tomorrow? You see, that spirit of faith seems to always say the complete opposite to what the natural says. The spirit of faith always seems to say what the flesh doesn't want. It always seems to say what is opposite to circumstances. Always. Spirit of faith exudes humility. Why? Because a spirit of faith, somebody with us is submitted to the Holy Spirit, is humble with their attitudes and with what they want, with their opinions. Say, well, God, what I want doesn't matter. What I think doesn't matter. Holy Spirit, what do you say? What do you want? A humble, whatever we're talking about, exudes humility. Because why don't we sometimes surrender to the Holy Spirit? Because either we think we know better, or we think there's something else we can do that will do us more, do us better, or fulfill us more. See, the Holy Spirit will never lead us into sin, will he? The Holy Spirit never leads us into unrighteousness. The Holy Spirit always leads us in the things of God. The Holy Spirit will always cause us to move in the things of God. Now, I think sometimes we relate the things of God to being just miracles and healings and seeing people saved. Well, I think sometimes just living in righteousness is having a good attitude towards people.
That's right.
Having the right heart towards people. Some of you have probably been reading that book by John Bevere. What's it called? Yeah, Driven by Eternity. Mate, there's other things like that, or similar sort of things out there as well at the moment, where there's a website where you can listen to different people's testimonies that have had, you know, been to hell and back or heaven and back, that sort of stuff. Some of them can be a little bit out there, can't they? But there's a holiness. Is that the time? Wow. Been rabbiting on here. There's a holiness about God that causes the fear of the Lord in your life. But there's also a holiness that releases joy and freedom. It's the same holiness. And the Holy Spirit wants to lead us, not just in what we might think is, oh, you know, a very lifestyle, way of living, but lead us in joy and freedom. Because the first place when you get led by the Holy Spirit, you feel freedom and joy is on the inside of you. You feel fresh and vibrant. You just feel a lightness. You just feel there's like a, wow, you know, I can take the world kind of thing. Because that's who the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit says, I can take the world. And because he's in you, that vibrant, that spirit of faith, that's what you think as well.
Yes.
Amen. Let's all stand up because it's time to crack on. Spirit of faith is always joyful.
Yes.
The spirit of faith is great to be around.
Come on.
The spirit of faith exudes energy, liveliness, yes, quickness, yes, freshness.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
The spirit of faith is unpredictable.
Come on.
Yes. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
For the spirit of faith. We thank you for the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Jesus.
Father, I thank you for every person here. Father, I just pray right now that this week we would just be more sensitive, more dependent on you, Holy Spirit, in our workplace, in our homes, in whatever environment that we're in this week. That we would never, ever, if we have become this, God, change it. But if we ever get into sleep, get up, breakfast, work, come home, food, telly, bed, get up, breakfast, work, come home, telly. If we are like that, God, oh, for goodness sake, just blow the living daylights out of our lives. I'm being serious here, and I can't tell you guys what to do. We had a media fast the other day. And honestly, if we are really serious about being led by the Spirit, please don't watch most of the junk that is on telly, right? I know some things are fun and all that kind of thing, right? But if we get a perspective on eternity, if we get a perspective on what on earth we're doing here and what we're about, please just don't sit in front of the telly and watch some of the stuff that is on there that is just about becoming famous or this, that, the other. I know there can be fun in it and all that. I'm not saying you're a boring pastor or whatever. But, you know, let's get a perspective on life, shall we? Spend time with people. Invite people around rather than sitting. For goodness sake, don't watch Jonathan Ross on the flipping TV. If you don't know him, don't worry about it. But, you know, there are people out there that think it's cool to have a chat show on TV, live TV, swear their heads off, talk, be as crude as you can. They think that's cool and that's trendy. We need to pray for these guys that they get born again. And I'm sure there's Christians involved in their lives. But let's just get a grip. If we want to be vibrant, fresh and all this sort of stuff, you cannot sit yourself down in stuff and watch it as a piece of entertainment. Because it's not entertainment. We haven't got time for this one, but anyway, let's just be wise in what we do. We want a fresh, vibrant spirit. Then make sure you don't sit yourself under stuff that creates an aging spirit in you.
That's right.
Amen. We want a freshness, a vibrancy, an unpredictability about who we are as believers. Just turn to somebody else, lay hands on them, pray for them. Prophesy over them right now. Come on, quick, let's go. Lay hands on them. Pray for them, encourage them. Ask them what their name is if you don't know them. Just pray for them. Pray for the Holy Spirit just to grab hold of them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When you get up in the morning, choose to be a person of the Spirit every day.
That's right.
Choose it.
Yes.
To Holy Spirit, anything today that you wouldn't lead me into, warn me.
Yes.
Let something go off in my spirit, you know. I know we should be mature enough to decide this, that and the other, but it's like the Holy Spirit is there as our counselor, you know. So just, Holy Spirit, is there anything today that I'm going to walk into that you wouldn't lead me into? Stop me, help me, just be there, as you know, during the day. Amen. Just quickly sit down a minute. I've got a few things we need to just communicate.